RSN Central, the Midweek Masterclass. The boys from the mailbag join Gareth Hall on RSN Central.
Time for the Midweek Masterclass as we look at the Metropolitan meetings on a Wednesday afternoon. The highlight there is at Geelong. It's the Geelong Cup meeting and it's welcoming the team. Jack Dickens, hello to you.
Good morning, Gareth. How are you, man?
I am very well. Hello to you, Pete Antonis.
Yeah, good morning to you, G Hall.
And Mark Roden, g'day to you.
Great to be with you again, Gareth.
Now, Jack, first of all, did you watch Adamo work over the last couple of days, Saturday morning at the Valley and then back at the Valley this morning? You're still confident that he wins the WS Cox Plate?
The thing I enjoyed most was all the people who are experts on vaccination, expert on disease, and now experts on jump outs. I don't have a clue if that was good work or not. I trust James Cummings to do his job. The horse is flying. Craig Williams jumps on. We've got no weight. Hopefully we win. But okay. I've got no idea about the jump out. He looked okay to you. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty well. From all reports, the team are happy, so I think he's on song to head into a WS Cox Plate at a moment. Mark, your thoughts on those workouts at Moonee Valley this morning? First of all, Zaki, are you with Zaki or are you jumping off Zaki and heading towards the three-year-old like an Adamo? Or maybe you're with the internationals?
No, I'm going to go with Jack. I'm going to stick with my theme here. I'll be with Adamo. Zaki, I don't know what to make of. I think his Dooming Cup win is one of the better weight for age performances I've seen in recent years, but I'm not sure he's in that form. If he cops some rain, that'll play into his hands a bit. But I'm just not convinced he's at that level this time in. Animo's now got the outside barrier to contend with, hasn't it? Is that right?
Yep. Outside. Yeah. Outside gate and a Cox Plate. What do you think Williams does? Does he go back or does he make a mid-race move? Does he just hope the pace is on and he can get a card into the contest?
I suppose with such a light weight, the option might be open to him to go forward. But they're going to have to give that some thought, aren't they?
0416 90 50 52 if you've got a question for the team. Pete, who do you think wins the Cox Plate?
I think the draw for Adamo is actually really good, Gareth. I mean, he's just going to follow very elegant wherever he goes, isn't he? And as we've seen the last couple of years, that late market move has gone straight for the winner. I'd be very wary about watching what it does with Gold Trip. First start in Australia, but personally watching his videos, I don't think he is a winner. He doesn't find the line, so I'd be wary about him, but he is with Mar Eustace, so you don't know what they've done there. But Craig Williams will just be sitting on very elegant's back the entire run, and just as soon as he gets momentum, peel off her back, and if they can make ground in the straight out wide, he'll go past him, won't it?
So Saki's 280, Cap Devant $17, has had some backing today, Animo at $4, Very Elegant $7, Gold Trip at $9. The horse that I think is interesting is State of Rest. I think he's the better chance out of the two European gallopers. I like his turn of foot. He's currently at $10 and Probabil out to $15. Mwanga at $17. And Cool Sign Mav is the outsider of the field, the multiple Group 1 winner from New Zealand at $51. I might get your official Cox Plate tips at the end of the show. We know what Jack's is at the moment, Adamo. Who did you go? We'll get him at the start. What was yours again, Pete?
At this stage, Gareth, I'd be leaning towards Animo, but I will also have something on Very Elegant if it is wet. I know there's about 5 mils of rain on Friday and Saturday, and that could be enough to get her over the top.
Mark, which way are you going in the WS Cox Plate?
Yeah, I'm with Animo because of those reservations I've got about how Zaki's going.
Horses to follow heading forward. We'll start off with you, Jack.
I thought El Patroness for Danny O'Brien and Daisies are the two horses to have a bet on in the Oaks. I think Gunstock's the horse to back to win the Derby. They were all very, very good on Saturday at Caulfield. El Patroness wasn't suited and can improve again. Back to her own sex.
Gunstock was impressive with the blinkers, wasn't he, Jack?
Oh, enormous.
Excited
and
you.
What a peak. Like, I was very critical of Jai's ride at Flemington, and his ride on Gunstock at Caulfield was a thing of beauty. Yep. His best is very, very good, young guy.
Mark Roden?
I was pretty taken with the last race at Randwick on Saturday as a form reference. It was only a 78, I think, but the winner, Promise of Success, was very impressive and obviously going places, but the runner-up Suave, I thought, was just about as good a run. It was, I think the inside was probably the wrong spot by race 10. The track did play very well overall on Saturday, but by the inside was about gone. And Suave, I don't know if they'd take it to Melbourne, but I'm sure there's a race for either in Sydney or Melbourne very soon.
And Pete, will quickly get your horse to follow.
Yep, Triple Missile might be heading over your way, Gareth, now of Lindsay Smith. It was did everything it needed to do first up. It's in for a big run second up, maybe even third up.
Yeah, I think that's the plan. Maybe a couple more runs in Perth before heading across here to Lindsay Smith's stable, or his base at Warrnambool after an impressive first up performance for the camp there at Ascot on Saturday. That number to text us on is 0416 90 50 52. So horses to follow, Pete Triple Missile, Promise of Success and Suave, the horses to follow for Mark Roden. Jack likes El Patroness and Daisies in the VRC Oaks and Gunstock to win the VRC Derby. Punting lesson. We'll start off with you, Pete.
Oh, Gareth, we've got a few lessons this week and they all relate to how tracks play. It was a little bit concerning there at Ascot after race two. You could start to see the turn getting chopped off or chopped up in run, and all of a sudden, rails and run has not performed at all. No winner saddled on the fence all day. You have to go back and review all the videos as a result. So, look, I'm treating this track with a lot of caution. I've said it a few times so far. The meeting tomorrow has been moved to Northern. Mm-hmm. We just have to be careful.
My mail is that they haven't had the drying conditions that they would have liked in the off-season, and the track's just struggling to cope with the early part of the season with the racing. But it can't get any breathing space to have some sun on its back, and there's more rain predicted this week. So the track team there at Perth Racing haven't had much luck, and it's a little bit difficult to play catch-up when there's no time to have a bit of a breather during their summer season. So it's concerning there for Perth Racing. That's why they've moved that meeting to Northern. Okay, Mark Roden, your punting lesson?
To do with consistency of approach to your punting this week, we had the honour of running a punters club for quite a few people on Saturday.
And congratulations, you won. Well done, Mark.
We did. We had about 50% return on investment. But, you know, we had a starting bank of about $140,000. It's other people's money as well. But we, all of us who were involved in the selections and staking, just did what we did every Saturday. It was just on a bit of a bigger scale with a bigger bank. And we got the result. We didn't change our approach just because we could get on for, you know, those big bets on Saturday. We just did what we always do, and it worked.
In my humble, I think that's a great approach, because sometimes when you have a big bank and everybody wants a result, I think it's sometimes pretty good fun to blast out. But I think it's an idea as well with what you guys deliver there on Saturday. It can actually be an education tool that even if you are losing, if you stick to your guns, follow your processes over the long term, that you will eventually win.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that if we were losing, we would have done the same thing.
Yeah, you probably... I was trying to help your cause and say that you've got better, Dicko, but obviously not. Sorry, Mark, continue on.
I was just going to say, you know, when you're dealing with $20 shares, you're not going to be able to turn $20 into, you know, thousands in a day unless something absolutely incredible happens. But the fun side of it came from, you know, we found plenty of winners across the day, people who were tuning into the live screen or up in the pub in Brisbane. We're having a great time roaring them all home.
All right, Dicko, your punting lesson?
A little bit along the same lines as Mark's, and also touching on what you started with, Gareth. Don't change your process and start thinking about, oh, geez, I watched the track work this morning and, oh, that was a quick time by that horse and he looked like he was going well. Like, if it's not part of your philosophy week to week, don't try and bring it in now.
Yep.
Keep it simple.
Correct. Kiss. Now, let's get your staking plans for tomorrow. We'll save you for last, Dicko, because we might go through a few more races. Pete, you're heading to Northern.
Yes, indeed, Gareth. And given there's 35 mils of rain falling today, I'm not overly enthusiastic. Look, I think the one horse that really stands out and what's a pretty ordinary card is in race six, and that's Beanie. Look, it has handled the track and wet conditions before, so that's a big tick. Should be genuine speed up front with Accelerate, and Ali Mentari, just setting the tempo for it. Was a big flashing light last start, was held up for basically the entire of the straight, still managed to run a good last sectional split. Look, if Beanie goes up $4 plus, I'll be having a bet.
Kensington track tomorrow there at Randwick. What are we doing, Mark? You were stiff last week.
Oh, we found a big short in the last week, but it got knocked off. Unfortunately, it was ran second. But we had one for one the week before. I'm going to stick to that approach. I'm only going to have the 200 on just the one horse, and it's in race three, number three. Jojo was a man for the Beatles fans out there. He led at this track last time in a day when no leaders won, and went pretty close. The start before, he beat a horse called Different Strokes at Kembla, who I think is highly promising. I think this is probably the strongest form line in the race, and at 550, I think he's a great bet. Mighty Deal, the favourite's around the 240-ish mark. I think he's obviously the one to beat, but I think he's too short. He beat up a pretty ordinary field last start, and I think there's a bit more depth here.
Jojo was a man. $5.50, $200 straight out. That's an $1,100 collect, a $900 profit there for us Midweek Masterclass fans. Dicko, Geelong Cup Day. Great race.
Great day's racing. It's a great event. Normally there's a stack of whites on his white belt and white shoes, but it's a great atmosphere and I'm going to miss it this year.
What are you going to do?
It was actually best on ground a couple of years ago at the Geelong Cup, if he remembers any of it. But he was very, very good.
I heard he embarrassed himself, but anyway.
Prince of Arrow.
Well, he took top tote about Luz Crichaud, who was $5 into two. So yes. Yeah, he did embarrass himself.
Now, Dicko, what are you doing at Geelong?
We're going to kick off in race four, Gareth. Number 14, Swoon, Shade and Trains. No rider yet, but I'd like to have $25 on, please, Gareth, at the 15 with Tab.
Correct, that's done. So race four, number 15, $15, the win at $15. There you go.
Race five, number three, last start winner, Lighter for Maroney and Childs. We'll have $50 on at the $8.50 with the Tab, please, Gareth.
So race five, number three, Lighter. Is that right?
Yes. Yep.
How much do you want?
$50.
$50. That's $8.50. No problems. That's locked in with the Tab. Next one, please.
$125. Race eight, number three, How Romantic. Group one, Jai McNeil and Mark Oosters. Very scared of Cordilla, who's fresh off 152 days, and Danny hasn't trialled that thing publicly. It is a very good horse. If the money came for it, very, very scared.
All right, then. So, race eight, number three, $125 on How Romantic. Geelong Cup, we've got Defibrillate at $7, Knight's Order at $8.50, Le Don de Vie at $13, last year's winner, Charlie Rose is the favourite at $2.80, and then Hasta La War down the bottom there at $6.50, Dicko. Is the Warrnambool Man the one to beat in your eyes?
100% the one to beat. I think the slight value in the race is Defibrillate, who is in a stable that would continually improve. It's a nice race this year. It's a much more bettable race than normal, as they're mostly locals. I'd lean pretty heavily to Charlie Rose, but could be tempted in the backing Defibrillate.
All right, then. We've got about 8 or 9 minutes here for questions. So you ready, lads? 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation here with the Midweek Masterclass team. A lot hinges on Craig Williams not riding his mount three wide. Al Nonconformist. It wasn't that bad of a ride there on Nonconformist. I thought he just rode to the circumstances that was presented to him, and he kept that horse in a lovely rhythm, Dicko, I thought.
I back Nonconformist, and we beat everything by about 2 or 3, 4 lengths, except for the winner who beat us by 10. But I thought the ride was outstanding, to be honest.
G'day, boys.
From a tricky draw.
Yes. Any data or quirks with the Geelong Racecourse that you have picked up over the years that might provide us an edge punting on Geelong Cup Day? No internationals this year, yet field for this year's Cup seems to have more depth than previous years. That's from Tommy. We'll go with you here, Dicko.
I thought the Caulfield Cup was outstanding this year without the internationals. I think the Geelong Cup will do the same thing. There's going to be a lot more interest locally and a lot more confidence to bet because we know a lot more. Geelong, typically the shorter races favour the on speed to midfield or forward horses. So there's a little data thing for you there.
0416 90 50 52. The best question today decided by Mark Roden gets a mailbag hoodie. Hi, Gareth. Do you or Pete know what the go is with clairvoyance? Is she being aimed at a race over the Ascot Carnival? That's from Dylan from Tatura. You're in with the D-Max stable. Pete, what can you tell us?
She's just come back in work now, Gareth. There won't be any aim at this stage. So they're not looking at any target. They just want to get her back to the race course in one place.
Dicko, Geelong Cup has been a good guide to the Melbourne Cup for so many years now. Three winners coming from it and a few placings. Is there anything in tomorrow's Geelong Cup that would run into the placings in this year's Melbourne Cup behind the winner incentivised? That's from Chris.
I think Charlie Rose is progressive. I think he's in the right yard to keep improving. Yeah. She loves Flemington, which is a big tick for a horse in a Melbourne Cup.
Surely Collette is a near certainty in the Empire Rose. Dicko, we'll go Dicko and then Mark Roden here, because there was talk that she might go to the Invitational, but it looks like she is going to the Empire Rose now.
I'd be cautious. I'd want to see the full field and a price before I made a call. I think what she did on Saturday, it was the performance of a really good horse. The race wasn't put on for her. She was off the bit early and she completely gapped them. So yeah. I think better over further for sure.
Mark, do you think she'll get anywhere near, or do you think Mystic Journey at her best can go with a horse like Collette at her best?
The thing I want to say about Collette is I tend to think she wants Sting out for her best, and she got it on Saturday. If that's not the case at Flemington, she's not hopeless on dry by any means, but I'd definitely prefer her on soft ground.
Good morning, Gareth and the Mailbag team. Totally enjoy the input from all of the boys. Question for Dicko. What is your obsession with Craig Williams? At the moment, I find him cold. That's from Andrew.
Well, Craig's stats at Caulfield aren't good. Craig's stats overall are elite. Craig is elite. And we spoke about this maybe a month and a half ago, Gareth, I want to try and find the better riders to win the bigger races. I think he might be drawn. He's drawn barrier 10. It's a 10 horse field. It's a tiny field. He's an elite rider with no weight. It's a great draw for a great rider.
I think this is a little bit harsh from Juppy from Bendigo. Question for the rat. Now, Pete, I don't. He's talking about you. I think
he's talking about Ruckman.
Oh, is he? Sorry, sorry about that. Because he was talking about the last at the I'll read the question. Question for the rat. Are the sprinters barbecued out of the Everest going to Flemington? Also for Pistol. Oh, there you go. I apologise there, Juppy. Also for Pistol. How did the winner of the last at Ascot rate? We'll start off with you, Mark. Those horses out of the Everest going forward, who do you want to be backing down the straight at Flemington?
That's a good question. I'd be wary of Home Affairs in the three-year-old race down the straight at Flemington.
Correct.
Back to his own age group. That's one I'd be interested in. That was a very, very high-pressure race. It may not have looked it to the eye, but we got the data on Sunday night, and that was a suicidally fast pace. It was a mighty run from Nature Strip to hold on. What that does to anything out of that race, I don't know. I mean, Miles Crusader's run was enormous, but it was to some extent put on for him. I haven't actually really given enough thought to what I'd like to be on in the big sprint at Flemington out of it.
Hey. Yep. All right, then. We'll just wait and see, Pete. Last winner out of Ascot.
Real charisma that winner was. Returned with a better-than-class benchmark performance, which is always what I'm looking for, but still got a couple of lengths to improve off that to match its PB from last preparation. Looks like it will improve going up in distance or staying at the same distance next start. Obviously, you won't get a price given it's Cerise and White, but nice horse.
All right. This is quick hands, lads. I'll ask the questions, quick answers, because they are coming in left, right and centre, and we are running out of time. Can you thank Mark for being responsible for me collecting 4,000 due to his confidence on Nature Strip? Mark, what's your address? Sling, sling. What is his take on Nature Strip in the VRC sprint? And can Mars Crusader, can he turn the tables at Flemington?
Glad to hear whoever this is got something out of it, and I won't get out my address on air, but find a way. I won't say no. I've just touched on it before. I love Nature Strip. I absolutely love him as a horse, but that was a very tough run. I think it was one of his best performances, but ratings-wise, it probably wasn't up there because he had to do so much work early. Chris is a great trainer, but that may have taken something out of him.
I tipped 6 from 10 at Caulfield on Saturday, but had no collectors. I had all of my multi combinations wrong by putting in other horses for a place in my multis that didn't place. Infuriating. That would hurt. That's a lesson everyone needs to learn in life, is that you can be the greatest tipster of all time and still lose on the punt, Dicko.
100%. It's like playing 2K.
Yep. Hi, Gareth. My message relates to the graphics used in racing, different methods being used in different states and different venues. My suggestions are as follows. Uniformity across all codes and all states for the in-the-run position of each runner, a computer-generated finish line for all races and all codes. Do you have an opinion on the graphics in racing there, Pete?
Gareth, you know me. As much as I'd love everyone to be on the same page in racing, yeah, it's not going to happen. Self-interest rules all. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes. Hi, midweek team. I'm interested if you have any data about trainers with best strike rates when their horse starts favourite. Oppositely, which stable has favourites with the lowest winning percentages? I get the impression some stables have horses as false favourites. That's from Mark from Miami.
Mark, I think the more relevant way to look at it is stables will go in and out of form for a number of reasons. Like they might lose their two good or their one really good track rider, or the head trainer gets sick and doesn't do a lot of work, or a virus goes through a stable. There's a number of factors which will slow a stable down and speed it up, and you just want to try and catch them on the way up and jump off before they get too low.
Dicko, why isn't the market liking State of Rest at the moment?
I think the market's not sure. They weren't sure if Zaki was even going to keep or maintain this preparation. And then they're just wondering how far will Animo win by, and why is Probabil such a big price given it knocked off Zaki last start and almost started favourite in last year's Cox Plate? I think that's what the market's thinking.
It's a fascinating betting race. Beer and Skittles with Mitchell Beer not far away. Looking forward to that. But this is from Toby. Morning, guys. This is with the Mailbag team still. Morning, guys. Just wanted to text in and say all credit to the Mailbag team for the weekend. Mark, question to you. Is Ice Bath race this weekend with the rain looming? That's from Toby. Is it Ice Bath race this weekend?
Well, on Trivier, it's going to be very hard to beat. She was terrific last time with the pattern against her. But the more rain, the better for Ice Bath. A few of us in the Mailbag crew, myself, Rob Scurry, Mark Sheen, had our hearts broken by Ice Bath a few times before, and I think we're lining up to have it broken again. But the more lane, the better for her. I ended around $7. Yep. I think she's pretty attractive.
Full credit to you for thick and fat.
Yep. G'day, boys. Study from the Bull. What's the best form or best way to try and find which horse to back in the Oaks so I can take all of the multis? I don't know what you're talking about here, Sooty. What's the best form or best way to try and find to back the winner of the Oaks? What are you doing there, Dicko?
Just back El Patroness.
Yep.
And back Daisies.
All right, then. Hey, Pete, is Regal Power back?
Yes, raced on Saturday. Gareth resumed in the northerly there. It was an okay run.
Yeah. Hey, Morning, you just said it's an advantage to be near the speed in the shorter races at Geelong. Your best bet of the day, how romantic, 1,200 metres settles near the rear of the field,
No. Settled near the rear of the field over a shorter trip first up. Second up now, I expect it to roll forward from that gate with Group 1 John McNeil on. I think we settle forward of midfield. I think we win. Very worried about Danny O'Brien's Cordilla, who, Gareth, if you can get him on, and you can ask him if it's had a nice private jump out or something down Geelong way, that would be very good information for the punter.
I apologise. We haven't got time to go through all the other SMSs, but we'll do it next week, I promise. Mark Roden, who's the winner?
Look, I like Juffy's question, but I can't give the prize to him because I've known him for years.
That's okay.
Especially
after he calls you a rat.
That's his nickname.
Oh, is it? I apologise.
Best question I thought was, I like Tommy's question about the quirks of the Geelong track and what we can learn from the data. I thought that was a good question and handled well by Dicko. So, Tommy.
Beautiful. Tommy, well done. I'll get your details and well done. Let me know your size and your winner hoodie. Good on you, lads. Good luck.
Bye for now.
There's the Midweek Masterclass team. Time for a break, and then it's Beer and Skittles with Mitchell Beer.